Welcome to the Pastor's Thought, and of course we always conclude this segment with a prayer of agreement, a prayer of intercession, or the Lord's Prayer. It's really a good thing to be able to come together and to pray. You know, pray is just talking to God. But we are continuing on the study and looking at the book of Ecclesiastes with a program that I like to call The Word is the Way to Life. Now, who is the Word? He is Jesus manifested in the flesh, and he certainly gives us the way to life. You know, he was from the beginning, and he is until the end, and everybody in between had a relationship with this living God, including Solomon. Yeah, Solomon. We're doing a overview of Solomon. We're in chapter 6 this week. We're halfway through the book of Ecclesiastes. Chapter 6, verses 1 through 6, New Living Translation says this. There's another serious tragedy I have seen in our world. This is Solomon speaking. God gives great wealth and honor to some people and gives them everything they could ever want, but then he doesn't give them the health to enjoy it. They die and others get it all. Now this is meaningless, sickening tragedy. A man might have 100 children and live to be very old, but if he finds no satisfaction in life, and in the end, it does not even get a decent burial. I say he would have been better off to be born dead. Now, he's being a little facetious, I think, but that's Solomon. Verse 4, I realize that his birth would have been meaningless and ended in darkness. He wouldn't have even had a name, and he would never have seen the sun or known of its existence, and yet he would have had more peace than he has in growing up to be an unhappy man. He might live 1,000 years twice over, but not find contentment. And since he must die like everyone else, well, what's the use? I love Solomon. You know, it's like squash ball. You ever play squash ball? Bouncing around on the court. The teacher comes to the topics of wealth and work, talking today from many directions. But today's passage, he had described a situation, I think, most similarly to that of Ecclesiastes 5, verses 18 through 20. But in one crucial respect difference, what if God gives you wealth, possessions, and even honor, not to mention in chapter 5, so that you really lack nothing, but does not enable you to enjoy these things? Then, so far from being a gift of God, then, isn't it? The state of affairs is brutal and grievous evil. I love Solomon. It's pointless to toil and to have no one to inherit the fruits of one's toil. Talked about that in chapter 4. But now the teacher is asking us a question. What about those who have had many children and a long, maybe a fantastically long life, but did not enjoy their wealth and finally die without a burial? They are no better than a stillborn child, is what basically is what he's saying. They might as well never lived. They ended up as dead, as a stillborn does. After all, do not all go to the same place? That's a question he asks in verse 6. But, now I love the buts. What is the teacher implying here? Does he mean that God toys with humans and blessing some and taunting others and giving them something and then snatching it back? Well, figuratively speaking, I think the teacher does not give the details. We would like to know more about the situation in the passage that I just shared, but what was the problem exactly? Did people that he is describing make money but go astray in one way or another? The teacher has previously described that in chapter 5. Did they gain wealth in unjust ways? Talked about that in Proverbs 16, verse 8. Did they put their trust in money instead of God? Well, perhaps, but the teacher doesn't say one way or the other, does he? Maybe his real point here is this. There are many situations where we don't have all the facts. We may think that we know what we're talking about, or even perhaps that we are justified in saying that God treats people unfairly. But perhaps we're talking about out of ignorance, or if we are inclined to blame God for all of our troubles and those and others, maybe we should think again. Now, I'm wondering that maybe one of the questions which has loomed increasingly large in the first half of Ecclesiastes is this. What is God doing in the world? Now, there's been a number of references to God and how we should conduct ourselves before Him as you look back on the five previous chapters as we start chapter 6, but the teacher has yet to address the issue directly. How are we going to make sense of what happens in God's world, and particularly of God's dealing with humanity? Well, that'll come in the second half of the book. As I said, chapter 6 is halfway through the 12 chapters that we're going to look at. But the teacher's main theme is the limits of human understanding. Think about that. We have understanding, but our understanding is limited, isn't it? So if you review the various word pictures that the teacher is painting, and think about work and wealth and how work and wealth may be a source of unhappiness or a blessing, what do you think the point of the teacher is making? Well, according to the interpretation of chapter 6, verses 1 through 6, I think one of the points that the teacher is making indirectly and maybe by implication, but nonetheless very clear, is this. There are situations where we simply don't know what's going on and where we should refrain from passing judgment. I got out of the judgment business a long time ago, but still every once in a while I think, well, I want to be judged, you know, but no, there is only one judge. The Bible says first come death and then the judgment, and we got to leave it up to the judge, the big guy judge, you know him. Well, I think this is what Solomon's point is, and he's asking us, what is our response to it? Food for thought. Well, I'm grateful that you all tuned in to Pastor's Thoughts, and followed by a word of prayer or understanding prayer and how prayer works, and come into a prayer of agreement with and for one another. We do have a list that we keep at church. Some of them maybe has already got some of their answers, and some of them can be taken off, but We always look at those and just say, Lord, we come in a prayer of agreement for those that we know of that requested they be put on our prayer list or pray for them. You can find that if you click on the slide of the pastor's thoughts. It'll bring up all of them. But it's not always updated. Sometimes these prayers have been answered. Sometimes praying for somebody's health and they now have since went in and under the kingdom of God. And we thank God for that. But we continue to pray a word of intercession, because there's so many people out there that maybe they just never mention a need for prayer. But we as people of God, we are relational, and we want to lift up things that maybe we don't know about, things in the world, things that are going on in the church. You know, the church is not a perfect place. Jesus said even the gates of hell won't prevail against it, but it's not a perfect place. We like to worship God and seek His perfection, but people made up the body of Christ are not perfect. We serve the perfect one, amen. So we just want to come and have a word of a prayer. Did you know prayer is nothing more than just talking to God? Like I'm talking to you today from this microphone. I can't see you, but I'm talking to you. But God can see us if we go to Him and say, Lord, I want to talk to you. Can I crawl up on your lap? And, you know, it's amazing. He lets us do that because we have the gift of the Holy Spirit. And just talk to Him. Let's talk to him. He wants to talk to you, and he wants you to talk to him. That's why we call this a personal relationship with the living God through Christ. And the disciples realized that, but they also knew that after they had a full day of ministry, you know, and they would stop for the day, build a fire, and eat, and fellowship with one another, and then Jesus would kind of wander off by himself, and it puzzled them. And one day, one of the disciples said, "Lord, why do you go off by yourself like that after we're done eating and fellowshipping?" He said, "Well, guys, you know, I'm God in the flesh. You know that by now. But I am in this human body, and I get tired and hungry and different things. So, you know, I need to talk to the Father." "Well, can I talk to the Father, or can we?" "Yes," he said. "Let me give you a prayer, a model prayer to line up with. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen." Have a blessed day, and thank you for tuning in to The Word is the Way to Life.